I'd like, definitely like to say it's good to be here this morning, and it's good to see this number, good to see each of you. Any visitors, just make yourself at home. We just trust that the Holy Spirit will welcome you in, and we're just glad you're here. And those that are listening in, we're glad you're listening, and I'm thankful for God's Word and what He gives to us in different circumstances of life. And it might not always be the popular opinion, it might not be the most popular thing going, but it's the right thing, and it's important that we stay with that. I do have a few announcements. What I'd like to do for next Sunday, I know some have mentioned that they would like to join the church, and what I'd like to do is open the doors to the church next Sunday after service. So that's the plan for next Sunday. Also, I did want to take time to thank Brother Tim for filling in for us on Wednesday night. That was a very short notice kind of thing, and felt really bad to do it. Wasn't sure exactly what to do, but me and Brandy just felt that might be the best thing. She was really sick, and I was afraid I was getting sick or sicker, and so I was just thankful that somebody was willing to fill in and take over, and I knew that the men in the church would be willing to do that, and I'm thankful for that. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do. I remember one Sunday night, we had a missionary supposed to come be with us, and every time the doors would open and close, we'd look back looking for the missionary, and the missionary never came. And I wasn't supposed to preach that night, and about 5 minutes before preaching time, I was asked if I would preach, and I was like, I'll do that. But the Lord had given me something, had something that morning, but that's where it proves to be ready to be instant in season and out, because you just never know. But I appreciate that this morning, and let's do remember Brother Marlowe. I don't know him or anything like that personally, but just following that account, it's amazing what the Lord can and will do. And I just think we need to surround them in prayer and see what the Lord does, and just trust Him and be willing to trust Him and see what He does and put our faith and confidence in Him. Let's be turning to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. This was one of those messages that kind of came earlier in the week. And, you know, if you're not careful as a preacher, you can kind of try to talk yourself out of doing something sometimes because you know it might not be well received. It might not be the most popular thing. But the Lord just kept laying it back on my heart and just kept pushing it that way. And so I'm thankful that He did that. That's reassurance to me that that's exactly where He wants me to be. And I read a post, a comment that was made by, actually the comment was made or given credit to be made by A.W. Tozer. He was a preacher around the 1900s, there at the beginning. But one of our missionaries, Brother Nathan Reed, he shared this, and I thought, what a good reminder in a time like this. It says, to be right with God is often meant to be in trouble with men. And that is so true. So very true. One of the things that I've been involved with, and you all know it very well, but serving on the school board, you know, there for a while, it was kind of an even plane, kind of a service that you offer and you do, and you're glad and happy to do. But then there's sometimes things get very contentious, and people start wanting answers, and people have questions, and a lot of times people ask you, "What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What's your thoughts on this?" And you know, I'm supposed to have an answer. Child of God, you're supposed to have an answer too. What do you think about this? There's so many things that's going on in the world that just really boggles my mind. But you know, we're supposed to have an answer to it. If we stand against something, would it not be right that we have a reason that we stand against something? Sometimes people can talk about what they stand against so much that you don't know what they stand for. And vice versa. I mean, that's how life is. But if we proclaim to be a Christian, and we proclaim to stand against certain things, should we not have a verse or scripture or have a reason that we stand against those things? Should we not? There's a lot of things that we have in our mind. Brother Nathan, I think sometimes, a lot of times we have things in our mind that we've heard that we think is Bible that's not. Maybe it's a fable, maybe it's a parable, something like that we think is Bible, but it's not. But when you're talking to people where the rubber meets the road, and you're honestly trying to help them, they need to see it in black and white, or red and white. Sometimes it's in red and white if you have a King James Bible and you can see it there. Sometimes it's in red and white. But I think that's important. If we really love a person, love people, have a heart for people, and we want to see people saved, I believe that we need to be able to go to them in love and show them why we're standing against what they may be trying to say is okay. Does that not make sense? See, this world wants everybody to think there's just not any sin anymore. There's just nothing wrong anymore. Everything's just okay. People can act or carry on any old way and still proclaim Christ, and everybody's just happy and okay. But I'm here to tell you that's not how it works. That's not how the real world works. You can use so many analogies with medical illustrations and things. If I go to my doctor and he's telling me that I'm okay when I'm not, he's not really helping me. I might be blinded into thinking I'm okay, but in reality I'm not okay because he's not telling me the truth. And he's not giving me what I need to get better. Now, granted, a person has to want to get better and has to have a desire to get better, but if we will follow God's word, he has placed things in there for every situation and circumstance. I remember some of the scriptures that I'm going to use this morning. I remember reading those things as a child and thinking, Lord, why is this in here? I mean, this doesn't make sense. This is common sense. Nobody reasonable would even have to question this, but it's in his word. See, God throughout time knew what we needed to see and what we needed to have in black and white that we could present to somebody. Present to somebody in love and say, this is what God's word says. It doesn't matter what I think about it necessarily. See, that's what I most often get answered. What's your take on this? I hear this is happening in the school system, or I hear this is going on, and I know you're on the board, I know you're a preacher, those kind of things. What do you think about this? And the political answer would be easy, just to try to find something that doesn't make anybody mad, Brother Finley. That'd be the fun thing to do. Try to find that common ground. And see, I think that's what people do so often in this day and time, that it murkies what the truth really is. You know, Joshua, all he was asked to do, very good Sunday school, what Joshua was asked to do was to stay with the Lord, whatever he said. Don't fall off what I'm telling you. In my law, you stay on my law, and you'll be okay. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't even matter if they get mad at you. As I was preparing for this, and I even talked to Brandy about it some, this is one of those that messages that you think could be edgy, but is it the truth? Yes. And you should never be afraid to proclaim the truth, right? Any of us. If you really love somebody, I remember, I told Brandy, I said, so often I remember Preacher Carl preaching on certain things, but you know, that was what the issues were of that day. And even though we still have a lot of those same issues, in this day we have, it seems like, new issues also. But who's going to preach against those issues? Who's going to preach to enlighten about those issues? That's what the Lord has entrusted me to do. Every teacher, every preacher, that's what he has entrusted for us to do. And that's what I see here in these first verses of Timothy. I'll be honest, I was thinking about it even last week. And this is what the Lord laid on my heart. Even talked to some of my preacher friends. This is where my heart was early on in the week. And as I got toward to really studying and putting things together, I was thinking, well, maybe we can do something else that's not so edgy. And right when I started reading, the Lord poured me right back into it, Brother Bill. I mean, he's like, Jason, this is what I'm asking you to do. This is what I'm commanding you to do. You can either be obedient or disobedient, and you'll reap the benefits of either one. That's how life is for all of us. But I want us to see this here. 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, verses 8 through 11. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to this sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed into my trust. Dad, I'll ask you if you'll lead us to the Lord in prayer. Amen. I appreciate that this morning, and I did want to make mention this Labor Day holiday. Always look forward to a three-day weekend, and this holiday's for you if you're the working man. Where's the working man at? This is for you. I was thinking about that this morning. What a blessing it is to have those holidays, and what it means to me. It was 12 years ago on September 6th that the Lord called me to preach, and it's forever embedded in my mind, being that it was a Labor Day, that the work of the Lord is work. Whosoever, I'm paraphrasing, desires the work of a bishop or office of a bishop desireth a good work. And it's a work. It's a lot of hard work that goes into it. But I thank God for that. I thank God that he is giving that to us, that we can have that, that we can use that and grow from it and learn from it. But we'll start here in verse number 8. And what we're seeing here, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And what does it mean to be using the law lawfully? That means to in accordance of the law. What you see in this day and time is a perversion of law, trying to change things that meant one thing to change it into meaning something else. That it doesn't mean this. Oh, no, you're interpreting this wrong. It means this. What you see is a disruption of what truth really is. People trying to figure out what the truth is, and they want a standard, a black and white standard, and in the Bible we have that. And they tried to distort that. Paul is teaching these people here, or he's teaching Timothy here, to beware of false teachers about false doctrines. When you look around the world today, you see so much of that going on. And it's not just people in church. When you think about a teacher, I think about one who stands for Sunday school, or maybe a teacher who stands in school, or a preacher. But teachers are those who are instructing others. That means mom and dad. That means aunts and uncles, grandparents. People who are teaching other people things. That they could be a false teacher just like any teacher that you see in school or in church or anything along those lines. And you're talking about here in religion, people who are trying to distort the truth. I think a lot of what you see in the religious realm of things are people are wanting to see numbers over truth. I think they declare a number is a rule or a definition or a showing of success because look at all the numbers we have. Look at all the people that are coming to our place to hear us or what we're saying. Is that not a show of success? Well, I tell you, if you tell people what they want to hear, they will come. I don't know how much they'll necessarily listen, but they do like to hear good things about self. The flesh loves that. The flesh loves to be praised. The flesh loves to be uplifted. The flesh loves to be told it's doing right even when it's doing wrong. Flesh loves that. Flesh really gets into that. When you're talking about the law here, it says again, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Is that not interesting? If you're a born-again believer, counted righteous by God, the law is not for you. The law is not for me. We're not here to try to uphold the law. We're not trying to fulfill our salvation. We're not trying to hold on to salvation by what we think we can do in the law, because the Bible says right here, if you claim to be a born-again believer, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for a lawless man, but for the lawless, for the non-believer. See, if I were to go into the court, if I was to stand before the Lord in judgment, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to plea anything in my works. I have no works. I have nothing good to offer. But I do have an advocate. And so what I can say, the only thing I can say, and it's not of anything within me, what I can say is, Jesus is my advocate. I put everything that I have, all my faith, all my confidence in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my advocate. He's the one that I'm trusting in. So that takes the law off the table. We'll see here in Romans 10:4 why. But he took that off the table for you and I. We're not trying to fulfill anything in the flesh. We're not trying to fulfill anything in the law if we're truly saved and we're following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's very interesting the things that he mentions here as being lawless. Right after that, again, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient and for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane and murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for menslayers. We see all of these things being listed down here. Now it gets kind of edgy because when you see the day and time that we live in, it's all encapsulated in what people want to do. People are afraid to, I don't want to use the word call out, but identify, admit to someone, or talk to someone when they're doing something wrong. Well, that's their business. That's on them. It's not even on me. I will stay out of the picture. I won't get involved. I won't interject myself here. If they don't know better, that's on them. If they choose to do these things that are listed here, that's on them. They will have to pay for it. Where is the love and compassion in that? When I was lost, when I didn't understand things, when I didn't see and understand things, Jesus, in his knowledge, he said, Jason needs a Savior. He doesn't know it and understand it just yet, but he needs that. That's the way he is with all of us throughout all time. He looked at mankind and he said, they don't even understand that they need me yet. They don't even know that they're doing wrong. They don't even know that they're not being righteous. So there was the law. The law came to show what righteousness really is, what God's expectation of mankind is. And as mankind throughout time looked at the law, it was like, there's no way. I can't keep up with hardly any of these things. I'm guilty of all these things. And the Bible teaches us if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. You can't win if you're trying to go through the way of the law. Man cannot fulfill the law. You and I can't do that. See, that's what he's saying here. He gives out these things. And you know, it's interesting when you see what is being listed. These are some pretty heavy offenses. If you're looking in a criminal elements law book, I had one when I was studying, and you look at that, you see a lot of your worst offenses at the top, and it comes down. And you read it like, man, this is some heavy stuff. And you read the elements of it. And you see this is wrong, a person guilty of this offense, and then the elements are listed, has done this, this, and or, and you see all these things listed. If a person has done these things, and that's what I see this being like here this morning, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless. There's a couple of things that I want to mention here. We see murderers, menslayers, people who kill other people, whoremongers, boy, that's not a popular word in today's time, but someone who is lewd, lustful, or in fornication. That's just as real today as it's ever been. I'm telling you, church, we need to really think about our young people this morning. That's even our older people, but I think about our young people. If we're not bringing these things out to them, who is going to? Who's going to explain that these things are wrong? And where does it say it in the Bible? There's different places that some of these things are mentioned. You know, I understand that it's not the preacher's responsibility to do all the teaching. It's not the Sunday school's responsibility. It's the parent's responsibility, the guardian's responsibility also. But when the Lord lays a burden on your heart for the troubles that's going on, then when he lays that on my heart, then I have to do it also. He's saying, preach this, teach this. The thing about this is this isn't Jasonology. It's things straight out of his word. It's the black and white teachings of what the Lord would have us to see. We see these things come together. He's listing these things, and you get on down. It's not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers, for fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, for whoremongers, there in verse 10. And it says here, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Now, what is that? I think today what we refer to that as is homosexuality. Boy, we don't want to preach on that, do we? We don't talk about that, do we? See, I think sometimes what happens is we see a more abundance of sin, we start getting numb to it. And we start to evade it. We step aside from it. You say, preacher, there's a whole lot of things you could preach in that Bible. Yes, there is. Well, what's a big problem that we got today right here in this county? Do we sidestep it or do we address it? Again, to be right with God has often meant to be wrong or in trouble with men. We see what he's being talking about here. People who defile themselves with mankind. Let's turn to Romans chapter number 1. You know, this isn't coming from a spirit of being angry, a spirit of hate, a spirit of anything like that. It's a spirit of love. If a person is caught up in something, and the Bible teaches contrary to it, then they need to see it straight from the Lord. This isn't something that's coming directly from me. It's coming directly from God. That's how we know that it's not right. If I was doing something wrong, and my eternal soul depended on me, on being right, I would want somebody to tell me, wouldn't you? Thank God for men and women who have taught me, who had preached to me and taught me throughout my life that was willing to do that. That's how I come to know the Lord. Somebody had enough courage and was brave enough to tell me what I was doing was wrong. But we see this defiling here in Romans chapter number 1, verses 18 through 32. And I want to take the time to read this. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." People who do not teach the whole word or try to pervert God's word. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." God's taken away excuses because he's given it to us in his word, and he's showing us where we are not right and how we need to get realigned. "For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." If you let mankind go, you take a child today, you leave them in their room, and you let them go to their own imagination, I tell you, they will be in a mess very quickly. How often in society do we see that? We understand that. We see that. You turn a child loose with it used to be television, but now it's streaming. You give them the internet, you give them a device, and you turn them loose to YouTube and Netflix and all of those things, hide and watch what happens. Wait to see what happens. You see, here's the thing I want us to understand, parents. I say parents because I want us all to understand this. We can't alleviate our responsibility and place it on someone else. If someone else does wrong, that is absolutely on them. But if we're not doing right, it's absolutely on us. We can see things and maybe understand or know. Maybe things are being taught, or we think things are being taught in school that we're against, or things like that, that may or may not be, just to put it that way. But if we focus our attention on that, but we let our student, our child, stay hemmed up in their bedroom watching all of these things on television, are we not culpable? Boy, it's easy to jump on somebody else if we think they're the ones doing wrong. But if we are the ones that's allowing these things to infiltrate our homes, are we not doing the greater wrong? Here's your internet. Here's your tablet so you can be like everybody else. Have at it and enjoy. I've never seen such what I would call just an overabundance of our young people being consumed with things that you used to see adults consumed with. Because years ago, the mentality was, yes, it's wrong, but if they're consenting adults, it's on them. It's always out there somewhere. But what do you do when it's right here? When we're looking at it, when we're staring at it, how does it get here? Is it because, well, we could have preached on grace or something else, but we really need to get the facts of the situation as the Bible teaches it. Boy, it's not a shouting message, is it? But it's the truth. This is the problem that I see right here. And this is the answer. This is the cure that I see right here. If I just give my opinion, then that doesn't mean anything. Everybody here has an opinion. But if I give you God's word, then you have to do something with it. We all have to do something with God's word. And that's what we're seeing here also. I'll keep reading. Because that they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, I'm not saying everything in science is wrong, but I'm not saying everything in science is right. Would you agree with me? Is there not a man still alive today that science pronounced dead a week ago? I'm just going to say, do we trust in God or not? Are we putting our faith in him or not? But men have become so wise, or they think they're so wise, that they're so ignorant they can't even see truth anymore. Oh, if this person says that they love this person, then that's up to them. That's on them. But what does the Bible say? How did God create us? You look back at the beginning. You look in Genesis chapter 1, I believe it is, where he created man. He created them male and female. And he said, go and reproduce the earth. It takes a male and a female to do that. That's what he created. There's none of these other things. Don't you think if these other things existed in his creation, he would have said it then? So we could know. I'm not saying those things are wrong on my right. I'm saying they're wrongs on the right of the Bible. Because that's what it teaches. That's what he's showing us here. He laid these things out for us to see. Verse 23, and it says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto a corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They started worshiping nature. There's a lot of that still goes on today, and even worse. The imagination of the mind continues to get worse. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, what their hearts wanted, what they had their hearts set for, what the lustful heart of mankind is like. He turned them over to that. Uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. That's very plain and clear when you read it like that. This is New Testament teaching. Very plain, very clear. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. People can push the truth back so far that God says, fine, fine. If you're not going to listen, fine. But you see, it stands in opposition of God. This verse teaches that. When you see religions, I'm not going to call it a faith, but when you see religions ordain people doing this as preachers, they completely erred from the truth. I see postings and things. I see what's called queer Bible studies, where I'm trying to get a group together for queer Bible studies. Who wants to join? My goodness, you'd only have, if you're following the Bible, about one queer Bible study, and then all of a sudden you've got to say, hey, we're going to have to change this thing up. We're not right. How about Bible study over beer? I've seen that before. We live in a college town. A beer and Bible study. Is that not blasphemy? Well, it's here. I'm not making it up. I'm not warning us of things to come. I'm just enlightening us of things that's already here. If we don't want our young people to further go into disillusion or illusion about all these things, then it needs to be identified right now. It needs to be attended to right now. Verse 26, again, it says, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto which is against nature. Had a woman one time come to me years ago. And, you know, it's amazing how the human mind will try to convince themselves, Brother Curtis. I can understand why somebody else is doing wrong, but I don't think what I'm doing is wrong. And I tried my very best, and I directed that person to these verses here. She said, I understand where it's wrong in the Bible, or where it would be wrong for men to be gay, but where in the Bible does it say it's wrong for women? You say, boy, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But you know, I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. Our flesh will do that to us. My flesh will do that to me. I can see you do something wrong, and I'll be the first to identify it, but when I look at my own sin, I'm like, well, but it's different for me. I can say that's wrong for somebody else, but why is it wrong for me? Again, it's in the black and white in these pages. It speaks to all of us. It says that it's wrong. The natural use, it also says in verse 27, it says, in the likeness also of the men having the natural use of the woman, leaving The natural use of the woman and burned in lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over into a reprobate mind. That means a mind that cannot discern right from wrong anymore. They are so far from what would be concerned from right and wrong. If a person, I'll tell you, if you're here this morning or if you're listening this morning and you truly want to know right from wrong, the Holy Spirit will deliver that to you. He will give that to you. If you stand in opposition of it and you say, I'm not going to listen to it, I'm going to continue to push it back, you will have to deal with that. But if you're truly wanting to seek knowledge and you're not wanting to debate, the Holy Spirit will make that known to you. He will open that up to you. And in verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, that make a mockery out of it, that makes it, tries to make it okay, tries to say that it's okay. We see that this morning. And I want us to see something else. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 22 for just a second. I won't keep us long this morning. We'll keep moving, but I want us to see this here. I want you to have places in the Bible. If somebody comes to you and they ask you about this, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I think the fair response to say is, well, what does the Bible say about it? And let's find that out. Let's look at it. I know a lot of times people declare mental illness, but it seems like there's a lot of mental illness seemingly overnight all of a sudden. Again, I think a lot of it has to do with promotion of things and those promotion of things being revealed down to younger and younger people that don't know any better, that don't have any idea. They don't know. They see it and they're like, what? You're telling me I could be this? When I was growing up, I didn't see that. I wasn't exposed to that. I didn't know that was a thing. That when I was a kid and growing up in Bethel, that in first, second grade, that somebody's, you know, are you a boy or are you a girl? Praise God, look at me. I don't think you can really miss it. You know, I mean, I promise you, I'm not trying to be ugly, but professing themselves to be wise became ignorant. I'm telling you, I mean, I shouldn't have to put if I'm a boy or a girl on my name tag. I mean, let's just be honest. How long do we play along with the delusion that we're not accepting of it? That's what people want to say, acceptance, acceptance, accept this. Jesus doesn't accept it. He doesn't. If it was an acceptance, it would have been listed here in His Word that it was accepted, that it was okay. This is one of those verses, church, I'm being honest with you. There's things you read when you're younger and you go through and you read things, but Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse 5, this again, of course, being in the law, but it's God's Word. And I, for so many years, I was like, why is this in there? Why is this in here? This is common knowledge. And again, I'm not being mean-spirited or mean-hearted, but it's in here. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Is that not really direct? I mean, that's just one verse. It doesn't even declare or need a whole lot of explanation, does it, brother? I mean, it doesn't. Don't do that. Why would the Lord put that in His Word not to do that? Is that not common sense? To a lot of people, it would be. I mean, it's almost like you can look at it and think, that's even silly, that's funny. But you look at all the people you see out here doing that very thing, saying, I'm this, saying I'm that. Where does that come from? God did not create a person that way. Redell is just not that way. It's not. We see in Genesis, it's not that way. And the Bible plainly teaches and says here not to do that. We see what the Bible says about homosexuality. We see what it says about transgenderism. We see what it says. You can go over also, the Lord, He doesn't like liars. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 6. It's amazing sometimes you don't know who you're witnessing to and you don't realize it. And I may have said this before, but I'll say it again because these verses made me think about this. Worked in law enforcement, I told a friend of mine, I said, there's two groups of people that really get under my skin. I said, that's drunks and thieves. I was like, that's two people that really bother me. It does, Brother Norman, it bothers me. And I went on and on and on, never thought anything about that. Because I still believe it today. But you know, sometime later, this friend came to me and he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you'll never know what you said did to me. Now, I didn't know what he was talking about. But he said, you know, I was one of those closet drinkers. I was one of those that churchgoer, good friend, good fella. But he was a closet drinker. He said, every time I would go to drink, he said, I would think about that. He said, I wanted you to know that the Lord used that to help me get right. You never know. I mean, just telling the truth helps people. One-on-one or a congregation or Facebook, just telling the truth and proclaiming the truth, that helps people. God doesn't like a liar. You know, it's easy just to tell people things that they want to hear just so they don't dislike you. But you want to have to find a way to tell them the truth regardless. Put it out there. Not agree with everything. Not go along with everything. We see here in Proverbs chapter number 6, verses 16 and 17. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. We see that also in those other verses in 1 Timothy. And the heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift, be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We see those things. Those are things that God hates. It's not okay to lie. You know, you say, preacher, that's a weird thing to talk about. I mean, to bring up. But you know, there's a lot of lying people. That's probably one of the fastest growing things I've seen today is just lying. Just to appease somebody, tell somebody something you know you disagree with it. But you say it anyway because you know that's what they want to hear. The Lord hates a lying tongue. You know, it's not that you say things in mean spirits or anything like that. But coming to somebody and telling them the truth in love. Being honest with them. And I see what it says here, and I'll finish with this. I'm getting ready to close here, and it says that any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, boy, that opens it wide open to good preaching right there. Anything else that is contrary to sound doctrine. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 23. This is probably going to be one of the last places that we turn, but I want you to see it in God's Word. Any other thing that's contrary. You know, last Sunday, touched on this just a little bit. And we're not even talking about the world anymore with this. We're not talking about the lawless. We're talking about the righteous. We're talking about those that are saved. Haven't really figured this thing out yet. You know, my stance on alcohol I can make a stance on alcohol completely outside of the Bible, and I'm 100% steadfast against it. Working in law enforcement, I have seen enough of what has happened at the hands or at the cause of alcohol that I don't even have to have the Bible to tell me the end of alcohol. I've got to see it several times. Many, many times. Most of the calls that I went to, most of the bad calls that I went on, that was one of the number one ingredients, almost every single one of them. I look back on suicide. You know, it's amazing how events affect your senses. And when I think back to a lot of the suicides that I attended, the smell of alcohol was almost there every single time. Young people, breakups, boyfriend-girlfriend breakups. That's the end of that person's life in their mind. They're thinking, I cannot overcome this. There's no way I can get past this. Got called out in the middle of the night one time to an SUV, and it was music playing. You could hear the bass on the music. You could hear it playing. And it was so eerie. They said, I don't know what's up there exactly. They tried to go. The SWAT team went up and tried to open the door, but the door wouldn't open. It was locked. Don't know exactly what's going on. You read the tag, it comes back to this person. We did find out this person had just a recent breakup. Girlfriend broke up with him. And we think it's bad, obviously. Don't know that he's alive, put it that way. And this is, I think, 18 years old, if I'm not mistaken. This was several years ago. And we open up that truck. We finally get to it. The door that they were trying to open, thankfully, was locked because that's the door his body was leaning against. They couldn't get it open, so we opened another door. And when you open that door, the smell of alcohol just oozed out. You think that person was in his right mind? You think that he was in a position to make good decisions? I see other cases. I see cases of domestic violence. I see all these things, and I'm not trying to be gory this morning, but it's real. The Lord has used those things in my life to show me how real of an end these things are if somebody up here or here doesn't teach and preach it. And nobody's immune to it because we're in the same flesh. You say, well, that's somebody else. No, that's somebody you know. That could be one of your family members. But it amazes me how people can have a burden. Let's say you've got a family, mom and dad and a couple of kids, okay? And they want to see their kids saved so bad. And they'll mention it in church and they'll say, pray for them, do this. They'll mention their burden for their lost children. And then they'll go out before their lost children and live this way. And I'm not being mean. It's real. It's the truth. It amazes me that longtime churchgoers who have been exposed to the gospel and teaching still haven't figured this thing out. So often, people downplay alcohol. People will push it back. I remember when the vote was going on here. I remember how that was a big thing in Boone, and it was voted down. They wanted to pass it, so they made it where students and everybody could vote, and so they finally got it in. Here it is. It's here. But I remember, if I'm not mistaken, there was a church that had deacons in there that was wanting to push it also. Now, how does that? A Baptist church. It's like, let's get this thing passed. They hadn't figured this thing out. They hadn't understood. Where in the Bible does it say it's wrong? What do you feel about this, preacher? That's how people ask things. How do you feel about this? It doesn't, again, necessarily matter what I think. But if you look at Proverbs chapter number 23... Verses 26 through 31. This would be like me talking to Josh. This is my best analogy because this is Proverbs. This is Solomon. He's talking to his son. He's trying to relay wisdom to his son. You know, people who've experienced a lot of bad things can be a wealth of knowledge to people who haven't experienced those things if they will listen. A lot of times people say, well, you did it. Yeah, but I'm trying to keep you from doing this. I'm trying to keep you from falling into this same trap. This is Solomon talking to his son. He wanted his son to not do these things. He's saying here, my son, give me thine heart. He's pleading with him. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. And let thine eyes observe my ways. He's saying, look at me. A lot of times we try to get our kids' attention. If they're not looking at it, say, look at me in my eyes. That was one of the things me and Brandy used to say all the time. Look at me in my eyes. I want you to understand this. It says, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Again, that's what you see mentioned there in Timothy. You don't have to go into a lot of detail there. Fornication will get you in trouble. Point blank. Verse 28, she also lieth in wait as for prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Verses 29 through 31, look at this here. This is what the Bible says about alcohol. Who hath woe? Who has troubles? Who has problems? Who has issues? Who has sorrow? Who has a broken heart? Who hath contentions? Got to break up a lot of fights surrounding around alcohol. A lot of chases, Brother Ben. You'd understand that. A lot of different things all surrounding around alcohol, who hath contentions, who hath babbling. You get around an intoxicated person, they're just babbling. They're not speaking coherently. Who hath wounds without cause. How often had a person not been intoxicated, the situation they were in would not have happened because they could clearly think. You know, the devil, this is probably one of his absolute number one tools. You know why? You know why? Because what mankind says, it's legal. The law says it's okay. The law says it's all right. The law says I can do it. When I used to do drug and alcohol talks on campus, people would ask me, this is the number one question almost every time, do you think marijuana should be legalized? No, I think alcohol should be illegal. That was my response every time. Because of what I've seen it has done. I didn't even have to bring the Bible into it. It's plain and it's clear. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Talking about alcohol. He said, well, you know, the Bible says wine a whole lot. How do we know if it's the good wine or the bad wine? That's what people say all the time. Let's split hairs. Let's do that. Let's just break it down. What does it say? It says, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, when it's fermented, when it's alcohol. Don't even look at it is what the Bible's saying. Stay away from it. Don't touch it. Run from it. Get away from it. You know, I was talking to Brandy about this last night. A lot of times, you know, you go to weddings or different things. Don't you normally have punch? A lot of times, those punches aren't even alcoholic. It's just a festive drink. There's a difference between grape juice and wine. The Bible teaches that. He's saying here, when it's fermented, when it's alcohol, don't even touch it. That's what the Bible says. You can look at it and you say, well, you know, I don't know. I'm going to close with this right here this morning, church, and I want you to think about this. A person has to do one of two things. When you're talking about your belief system, what you believe, you talk about God's word, you talk about what we're teaching, what we're preaching, what the Bible says. Most people that I talk to, if you ask them if they're saved, Brother Curtis, they'll say yes. And then you talk to them a little bit more and you realize they don't even know who Jesus is. Maybe it's a self-conceived notion. But when you're talking about things like we're talking about this morning, homosexuality, transgenderism, alcohol, these other things that are listed here, a person has to do one of two things to say that's okay. Number one, you have to admit, you have to say in your heart, I don't believe in the Bible. I'm not a believer. I get this argument too. Well, that's your belief. That's what you think because you believe that Bible. Well, guess what? I don't believe in it. Well, so be it. At least you're being honest. Most people will take a little bit of the Bible and say, yes, I'm saved, but I'm okay with these other things too. Can't do it. You can't do it. You're saying you're being awful, awful straight. Well, you can't do it. Either it's right or it's wrong. It's very straight. So you would have to say everything that I just said this morning, you don't believe it because you don't believe any of the Bible. Fair enough. That's your choice. You know you got a right to choose that. You don't have to believe the Bible. This thing is set up that you have a choice. You don't have to believe it. But it's still right. If I proclaim it or not, it's still the truth. Or number two, you have to admit that it's true. You have to reconcile that. You know what? Everything you just said is true. Everything that you just showed me in black and white is right. And I need to do that. But if you're not, why? If you're not doing that, why? If you're not listening to what I just preached, and you hear that, and you see that, and you're standing against it, you're doing opposite of it, why? How? What's the answer to that? You know, if you're here this morning and you have not been a believer and you say, well, I don't believe those things, guess what? You can. It's the truth. If you're here this morning and you believe it and you're adhering to it, praise the Lord. That's what we as a child of God are supposed to do. That's how it's supposed to be. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're not making excuses to say that something's right when we know that it's wrong just because we want to do it. Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe unto them who call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them. That's what a false teacher is. But let's look at Romans chapter number 10 and verse 5, and I'll close with this morning. Romans chapter 10 has been probably one of the most influential chapters, books in the Bible to me in dealing with salvation and dealing with my call to preach. But I want us to be honest with ourselves this morning. We see here Romans chapter 10, verse number 4. I like this. If I ever get to preach to a group of law enforcement officers, I'm going to use this verse, Lord willing, because we use 10 codes in law enforcement. And 10-4 means affirmative. 10-4 is good. Most everybody knows 10-4. That's how I remember this verse. 10-4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See, when Christ came and he fulfilled the law, he didn't break it. The only human flesh being to fulfill the law, he came to this earth, he fulfilled the law. That's what we were talking about there at the beginning. The law is not for the righteous, it's for the lawless. And see, the beauty of this thing is you don't have to be continually stuck on one side of this thing. You can be in the righteous side. You don't have to be stuck in a lawless state. You don't have to be. But you have to know Jesus. And that's why it's important that I was saying there just a minute ago about the Bible. You have to believe it. It's inherent truth. All of it. Or none of it. You can't just pick and choose what makes you feel good and say, you know what? I am saved by God's glory on John 3:16, but I do not like what it says about drinking. It doesn't work that way. If John 3:16 is true, then what we just read in Proverbs is true also. You know, it's a complete package. Preacher, are you just asking me, are you saying that all I have to do is just believe what you said? I don't understand all of it. I don't understand all of it. But as I learn and I grow, I believe. Because I know the Lord's not going to lie to me. He's the truth. What does he have to lose by me believing in him? Nothing. He has everything to gain because he sent his only begotten son to die for me, so I would believe. But we can't say something's right when it's wrong, and we can't try to make wrong right. We can't do that. We got to be truthful. Got to be honest with ourselves. And it says again here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. All you have to do this morning is believe. Whatever is hindering you, you can step aside from that. Whatever it is that you're taking in, it could be any of these things that we preached on this morning, that I preached on this morning, any of these things. You mean God would save me if I'm a homosexual? Yes, if you repent of your sins and you turn and you ask him for forgiveness, he will save you. He will in no wise cast you out. I can't tell you how many times I heard on campus, Sanford Mall, free speech area, you have people come in that would try to stir the students up and fight. They'd proclaim to be preachers. And they'd get up there and they'd run everybody down and they'd damn everybody to hell. But they'd never tell you about the grace of God. I want to tell you about the grace of God this morning. If you're here this morning, or if you're listening this morning and you're gay and you realize that's wrong, or you're homosexual, you're practicing that, God will forgive you if you'll turn from it. If you're practicing this transgenderism and you're trying to figure these things out in your mind, the Bible says it's wrong. God will save you from that if you'll turn from it. If you're caught up in alcohol, if you're caught up in drugs, anything you're caught up in, if you will turn from that, ask God to forgive you in faith, by grace, he will save you. I promise you that. But the choice is yours. That's as far as my help can go. That's as far as I can go. That's as much as I can do. If I could save you, I would. I can't. That's between you and the Lord. But I can promise you everything I preach this morning is the truth out of his word. If you will stand with me this morning, I appreciate your wonderful attention. I'll ask the ladies to come. I have a song of invitation.